Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. It is Juneteenth, the official celebration of the end of slavery in the United States. I think that was something to celebrate. Jimmy, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, of course, it's something to recognize and to celebrate.
Right.
It's interesting. I was actually in Gettysburg, took my children to Gettysburg yesterday, and looked at the battlefield and talked about the issues and, you know, how basically until that moment, the North was losing the battle in the South, the slaves, the Democrats were actually winning until that battle. And that's what people have to realize is the people that, you know, there's a big twist out there in information and history. And of course, we appease the popular agendas by, you know, this type of a holiday, which, you know, I recognize is, yeah, it's an important moment in history and an important point, definitely important point for our country, but there's also a lot more history that needs to be understood, and that's what we're failing to teach our children and our students for the most part, the sacrifices that are made, the changes, and the positive things that have happened, and how we can improve.
You know, I agree with you 100% on that one, Jim. The thing that I find to be very interesting is during the Civil War, the Republicans were the anti-slavery party, and the Democrats were the pro-slavery party. And I wonder if they are teaching that in our schools today, Jim.
They are not. In fact, I talked to my children about it. I talked to numerous people, the guy running for the Senate in Washington, your district, Simon Sefcik, had a teacher tell him that Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat, and he's like, no, he's a Republican. And so that argument is out there. There's this twist in information.
Yeah.
The legacy of that party started the KKK. The Democrats actually pushed back on reconciliation after the Civil War.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson, Democratic president, institutionalized federally segregation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, interned Japanese during the war, American mm-hmm. citizens during the war,
right.
Absolutely against the Constitution. The Civil Rights Package in the 1960s that passed during the Johnson era passed because Republicans jumped on board. A number of senators that were Democrats and leaders in their region, they were anti-integration. There was a lot of pushback. The Democratic Party has managed to somehow switch that ideology around and say, oh, no, that's, you know, we changed taking care of the black community. When, in fact, all they're doing is taking advantage, in my view, taking advantage of the black community.
Well, Jimmy, I agree 100%.
Something.
I agree 100% they're taking advantage to a very large extent of, I don't want to just say the black community, because I think the communities that they are taking advantage of, quite frankly, are basically all of the minority communities. And, you know, and I have to give the Democrats a little bit of credit in the sense that they are now totally reversed their position, their historical position of being pro-slavery, and that's a good thing. I don't mind saying...
Well, I don't think there's anybody, Al, there's nobody that's pro-slavery. So I don't give
that's,
the Democrats credit
yeah.
for that. You know?
Great time to interrupt me. That's exactly what I was going to say. Nobody in their right mind is pro-slavery. There's no question about that. Jim, let's flip over to the economy in the United States. We're in trouble right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average absolutely collapsed last week, as did the NASDAQ, as did the S&P. My investment advisor, who I was having a beer with on Friday, basically said, I want to get you to cash. I don't like the way this economy is going. And I said, I took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I actually saw this come in a while ago. I sold most of my equities, kept some precious metals stuff in a couple of large cap industries that we'll, I think, be able to ride through, but most of it, and then, you know, put money into some real estate and some potential returns that way. I think a lot of people are having to realize that this ride is over. And you know, so one of the big things that I think are going to cripple this economy, probably starting, I mean, it's already happening now, but all the money that was thrown into crypto, the investment, the industry, reinvestment industry and these different exchange organizations for crypto, we see Bitcoin dropping 70% since its high in 2021. Mm-hmm. That's going to have a big impact. All the different people that have leveraged investments based on their crypto assets and the gambling that was going on there is going to be very difficult. And in spite of the idea that somehow crypto is going to be free a free system that would somehow survive through declining economic problems and would be stable, you're seeing exactly the opposite. And it may, in fact, have a bigger impact on the overall economy. Yep. When you include the inflation, when you include the the energy issues, you include the absolute ridiculous efforts by the Fed to try to quell this catastrophe that's building. And we're seeing, it's a very challenging time right now.
You know, Jim, it's a very challenging time right now. And I had an interesting thought yesterday when I was in Seattle. You know, one of the greatest books out there in terms of telling us how to live our lives happens to be the Bible. Whether you're a Jew and you believe the Old Testament, or you're a Christian and you believe the New Testament, both of them basically say the same thing, and that is to live your life loving your fellow man. If we did that in the United States, we would not be having the problems that we have right now. There's absolutely no question about that to me. You know, and that was taught yesterday in the church that I attended in Seattle. You know, you really have to love your neighbor. Anger basically results in nothing other than, it even says in the Bible, anger can result in murder. And that's what's happening. You know, I was going over the headlines this morning before I called you. All kinds of shootings going on yesterday. Interestingly enough, with black African Americans getting killed. That's such a shame. Why don't those people simply listen to the Bible, Jimmy?
It'll be much better if we're undermining our moral institutions. We're undermining the church as a society. The unfortunate reality is that without a moral base, we collapse, and honesty and integrity, that's the unfortunate reality with a progressive agenda. Mm-hmm. And we should have learned these lessons. We can look at very recent history and the collapse of most of these large, the Soviet Empire, the communists in Kampuchea and Cambodia. What's happening in China right now? These atheistic groups that take away moral responsibility and moral teaching and replace that with government authority, that's a big problem, because eventually you've got to regulate people's lives to the point of control when they should have basic foundations of how to treat each other. And, the golden rule, do unto others you would do unto yourself, And that's what we're failing at, and our history shows us that these types of systems where the government takes more control actually result in very, very damaging outcomes, where millions of people have been killed under the Soviet communist regimes around the world, where socialism has failed miserably. But we're seeing this resurgence of propaganda and support, and I think a lot of it is actually driven by, actual corporate greed that want more control, and rather than actually encouraging responsible actions within our communities and individuals on a moral basis. And yes, the Bible is a true foundation for that type of response. Of course, people manipulate that and use it as well, too, to their advantage. So there's always a question. You always be critical. Always got to be thinking.
Well, Jimmy, the one thing I want to say is our audience on these podcasts are building pretty substantially, which I'm very, very happy for. And I want to basically tell the audience the anger that Al Corlin used to have is no longer existent. I am going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to live simply as the Bible tells me to live. I choose to not be angry. I choose to not that I ever have taken advantage of people. I haven't done that. But I'm going to do everything I can to help people from now on. But I'm also going to do something else, and that is I'm not going to compromise my principles anymore, Jimmy.
Well, yeah, that's what we should all be living by, not compromise our principles. And, you know, the thing that actually, in my view, I'm have a little bit of a contradictory view. Helping people can sometimes mean not handing them something for free. Helping people can be just being positive rather
right.
than, you know, being empathetic or sympathetic or, you know, making decisions. That's what's twisted in our society right now is that people with means feel somehow they're helping people by giving them, you know, homeless something.
Right.
The actual responsibility that we have should be for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take care of ourselves and we just treat people as we would treat ourselves, we'd be in a much better position, not take advantage. And, you know, you're not going to solve every problem. You're not going to solve every issue out there. But we've removed personal responsibility from individuals and personal choice, and
right.
given it, somehow the government's going to solve all these problems, and that's where we're failing right now.
The government is not going to solve. Yeah, the government is not going to solve all the problems. It's too easy to take advantage of the government, and I don't want to see that happen anymore. I think that Jimmy, what you said is the most important thing that we have conveyed in this editorial today, and that is a rule that I have lived by for a long time. I didn't become happy until I started living by the golden rule. Treat others as you would treat yourself. If we do that, a lot of these problems, Jimmy, will be solved. Let's wrap it up.
No doubt.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. We're up here to 12 minutes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Final word, Jimmy. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think, you know, a lot of these problems, the economy, the, you know, our social conditions, a lot of them have become because we have somehow trusted our leadership, and our leadership is failing us right now.
Yes, it
is. And so we've got to change that, and we've got to take personal responsibility, think critically about issues, and actually take actions not out of just empathy and sympathy, but out of rational thought to encourage people to take care of themselves and do better.
Good thinking, Jim. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you later today if anything happens. Otherwise, we'll be back with you tomorrow morning.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.